wonderful you are, Lord. How glorious you are. We can't make it without you, Lord. And I'm not ashamed of that. You are the glory and the lifter of our heads. You are the love of the Father, spread across in our hearts, Lord. You are our strength. You are the reason we live. Your purpose, your plans. You are the reason we live. Your voice, O Lord. How lovely you are. Who is like unto the Lord? Great and mighty, glorious in holiness, majestic. You may be seated. Thank you. You know, it hurts me when prophets speak and they don't depict the heart of God. It just hurts me more than I know how to tell you. I have to just keep telling myself they just don't understand. We could say lots of things tonight. I could keep you here for hours, but we're only going to speak a few things that are the most critical. Some prophets can speak and it takes your faith away for prayer. Isn't that true? And I want to say to you, shame on you if you listen to prophets that steal your faith. Shame on you. You should protect your faith. You should protect your faith. How can the church pray with no faith? How can the church stand in the gap with no faith? So if prophets are speaking to you and you feel your faith just faint, get up and walk out. Because your faith to God is more precious than gold. Do you believe that? Those who are praying today are standing in the gap so that God does not have to pour out his wrath. If that's true, what does the devil want? He wants to take your faith and break it until you can't stand in the gap. your prayers are of no value because you have no faith that God is going to listen to you. Now, if you have a nation like America, I love you guys. I'm so glad to see your faces. I'm so glad to be here tonight. And those who are online, who have stood with us week after week in our days of prayer, thank you. Thank you for all of you that are standing in the gap for this nation. The day you get to heaven, you will find out how absolutely, utterly critical your prayers were. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus spoke it to me by his own voice. Those who are interceding for this nation, that God's glory and not his wrath will come upon America, are the ones who are building up the wall of protection around this nation. You are the ones that will stand before the church in the end, and God will say to the whole church around the world, these are those who stood in the gap and who were faithful in the hour of need. I don't like it when prophets break the faith of God's church. I'll never understand why they do it. They just don't know his heart. God is not so mad at America that he can't stand the stench. He's like a loving father reaching out to the prodigal son, saying, don't go any further. Don't go any further. Stand for righteousness. Stand for righteousness. But since those who are doing the most trouble can't hear his voice, his church is hearing it. And those who are willing to pray and stand in the gap will win this nation. If God's wrath had to fall, it would not be because he wanted it to do so. I promise you. What he wants, what he's crying for, what he's calling out for, what he's speaking into every heart that will listen is, I love America. I want to save America. Pray. 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 It is the most important thing you can do in this nation. I'll never forget when God took me into the Spirit. People that say Abraham Lincoln is not in heaven, they don't know. I've seen him. The Lord took me into the Spirit. And with tears, he spoke to me and said to me that the thing this nation needs now more than anything else is prayer. Amen. Jesus himself took me on a high mountain in Colorado. And he told me to look out over the whole nation. And suddenly I could see out over the whole nation. And he began to weep. Weep for America. And he said to me, hear my heart. My heart is broken for this nation. Pray. Stand in the gap. Pray. And see what I will do. How can you give up? How can anyone listen to prophets that tell you that God is not interested in your prayer? How can you give up on your nation when Jesus doesn't want to give up? When we came up here and we, through our intercession and the revelation of the Lord to let us know what it was that needed to be repented for and healed, when we came up here, prophets called me, they emailed me telling me I was stupid, that I didn't know what I was doing, that the judgment of the Lord was going to fall, it was going to fall right on time, and there was nothing I could do about it. And all I would say to them is, watch me. Jesus cares about the hundreds of thousands of souls in the Northwest. Amen. And he will stop this thing if we will pray. Amen. And what happened? Nothing happened. Oh, isn't that exciting? Why? Because Jesus loves America. Amen. He doesn't want to tear this nation apart. What he wants is a holy nation. Can anyone understand that? Can anyone see it? Will you let your hearts be enlivened with the faith that you've got a God that cares about the land upon which you live? Now I'm getting too excited. But it excites me when I think about his love. It excites me when I think about his love. I was taken into a terrible, terrible experience. And I want to show you through this experience who's really after America. I was taken into an experience where Satan himself was trying to push me into a cesspool of sin. He had pushed many others there. And these people were trying to entice me into sin, in this cesspool of sin. I kept fighting and fighting. Finally, Satan grabbed me and he pulled me up to himself. I was clothed in my full armor, but so was he. He couldn't have put a sword through my armor, nor could I have put a sword through his. But he had only one thought in mind, and that was to kill me. And let me tell you what he said. It will shock you. After you think about it, you're not going to be surprised. But initially, it will shock you. As he's trying to push me down under the water to drown me, he's using all of his might. I was like a willow tree compared to this guy's might. But I knew I was standing by the... Because he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. He's trying to push me down and he's screaming a chant at me. And this is the chant. There will be sin in this nation. There will be sin in this nation. He kept saying it over and over. Not saying it, chanting it, but in screaming language. Over and over and over again. And he knew that the only way he could succeed was to destroy me. Why? Because I'm rousing the intercessors to pray and stand in the gap. We are repenting of the sins of this nation. When the prophet says the cup is full, he's mistaken. It may be very close to the rim, but it's not full. If it were, there would be no way to dissuade the hand of God from wrath. But it's not full. And it's not full because people are praying. People are pleading for forgiveness on behalf of this nation, repenting of our sins. How does that fit with today? Satan is trying to destroy the power of prayer. He's trying to steal your faith. He's trying to paint a different picture of the heart of God than what his very word says. If we will humble ourselves and pray, if we will humble ourselves and pray, repent, which means to turn from our wicked ways, he will hear. He will heal the land. In the book of Joel, let's go there. Verse 12 of chapter 2. Therefore also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Does this sound like a pleading God to you? Does it sound like a God that has something more in mind than wrath? Yeah. Until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored, rend your hearts and not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. Listen to this. This is the heart of God. Return, return, return. America, return. Church, return. This is his heart. He is not standing with the bowl of wrath in his hand saying, I'm fed up with you. I'm not going to wait any longer. He is saying, turn, turn, turn. How? With weeping, with fasting, with prayer, with repentance. Rend your heart. He's not talking about sitting in your armchair like someone who is looking at the world through someone else's travel experience. He is saying, get your heart involved. Weep, cry, bend, rend. Let your guts hurt under the anointing. Cry like you've never cried before, because your nation is falling away and you've got a God that wants to restore. It is Satan that wants to drive America into the ground through sin. It is not God wanting to reject America. Please don't believe anything else. Do you believe me?
Yes.
For I'm the one that got up out of the sick bed because I love your faith. And I don't like people breaking it. Amen?
Amen.
Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And he revokes, listen to this, and he revokes his sentence of evil when his conditions are met. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you believe the Bible?
Yes.
Do you believe that when he says this, he means it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How much time are you spending in prayer? Are you lifting this passage up to him? Day and night. Do you sacrifice sleep to pray? Do you sacrifice eating to pray? Prayer is not something I'm telling you to do. The Holy Spirit is pleading with us. Someone else might not be praying, so we've got to pray enough. I want to tell you what happens when a nation is born. Sin piles up. It gets greater and greater until the cup that has been created to hold all that sin becomes full. If repentance does not turn the tide, the cup continues to fill. But when God is saying, repent, and he finds a people who will do it, the cup begins to empty. It's not like one big outpouring of emptying. Little by little, we're getting further away from the rim. Now, of course, America keeps sinning, but God keeps forgiving. Boy, am I glad. It's taken us 400 years to get where we are. But I'm so glad it's not going to take 400 years to undo it. Our job is to repent. God's job is to change the heart of the people. We can't do that, but he can. And I know you know that. But what happens when circumstances happen, as we get to see every day, you can weaken in your faith. I want to tell you something. I've got to say this. You've got to listen. You have got to put your hand up in the realm of the Spirit and say, we will not let sin dominate this nation. Amen. We will not let sin dominate this nation. We don't curse the sinner. We bless him with a love for righteousness. But we will not let sin dominate this nation. You've got to take that stand. How many of you remember the story from when we were kids about the little boy who put his finger in the dike? How many of you remember that? Raise your hands, please. What would have happened had he not... What would have happened if he had taken his finger out of the dike? That's how we have to see ourselves. We can't put that hand down. We've got to stand for God's glory. We've got to stand for this nation to be purified and healed of unrighteousness. We must. We can't ever put the hand down. The minute we put the hand down, the minute we put the faith down that causes us to put the hand down, America's lost. I'm telling you, Jesus told me himself, you intercessors are standing in the gap, amen, preventing the wrath of God, a wrath he does not want to send. How important is that? Those who are here and those who are online, how important is it? It is so important. Every Christian and every nation all over the earth prays for us. Stand strong. God help them stand strong. We need America to be strong, but strong in God. There is going to be a financial collapse. I've never told you that we are not going to go through trouble. I've told you it's going to get worse before it gets better. The thing is, it's not going to get anywhere near as bad as it was going to get because you have prayed. And the bad is going to end much quicker because you've prayed. You know, it's like the Lord picking up his young son and saying, I have to discipline you because you have to learn righteousness. But we'll get through this together. He is not a dad. This thought just came to my mind. He's not a mad dad. Is he angry with our sin every day? Yes. But mercy, say mercy.
Mercy.
Mercy. If God didn't have a heart of mercy, he never would have sent Christ. Christ lived and died. He stood as the standard of mercy over the peoples of the earth forever. That doesn't mean God doesn't have to discipline. He does have to discipline. How many of you know that those power brokers in our nation, if they did not experience the discipline of God, they would never, ever figure out how to walk in righteousness? How many of you know that? They think they're going to bring the hardest times in all of history upon this nation. But the truth is, they are going to come down.
Amen.
They are already starting to come down. They are starting to fall like flies, actually. These men have built cities all over under our nation. I can tell you that we go on prayer journeys, and just about every city we come into, the Lord tells me there's a city underground. But people who know and understand these things are starting to destroy them. I think that's so funny. I just think that's hysterical. They think that they've got, you know, the Taj Mahal under the world, but they're losing pieces of it here and there. But it's the least of what is going to happen. God is not going to let them destroy mankind. He is going to show them that he is the God of the church.
Amen.
And he, not they, rule the world. He knows what needs to be done. We don't. I mean, we can all think we do, but we really don't. I stood over a composite picture last night, and I said to the Lord, when I look at all that they're doing, all that they've done, all that they're going to do, Lord, it's so confusing to me. I couldn't pull this thing apart if I had to. I don't have the intellect for it, let alone the understanding. And I simply heard over my shoulder these words, "Yes, but I do." Don't you think that's hysterical? He's so cute sometimes. Well, you can see what's happening between the races, right? Yes. If you read Wind, then you know that African-American gangs are jumping around on Caucasian people all over this city, all over this nation. And there's never a news report on it, not in mainstream media. But when the Caucasians do their insane stuff, then the whole nation knows, because they're trying to stir up a racial war. Well, I saw another event. I watched it in absolute horror as two policemen, and I watched it because before all this stuff with this Mr. Michael Brown came about, the Lord spoke to me in a dream and told me that the enemy, the elite, are trying to stir up racial wars in St. Louis, Missouri. So when I saw what was going on concerning Mr. Brown. I took note of it. Now here, I think it's 2 weeks later, this African-American, I don't know, he could have been in his 20s, early 30s. He may have had a little bit too much to drink or a little too much from the drug arena. I don't know. He just kept walking back and forth in front of this, like, ma and pa store. Two policemen drive up in a truck, a police truck, get out of their police trucks, pull their guns, and 12 bullets were fired at this young man who had no weapon. Right there in midday in cold blood, the young black man that took the video of it with his camera, all I could hear him say over and over and over again is, they did it again. Oh my God, they just killed him. Oh my God, they did it again. He was in shock. He couldn't believe it. About 6 or 7 African Americans came out of wherever they were. I don't know if they were in houses, cars, what. But when they realized what had happened, they came out trying to, you know, take a look, trying to understand what had just happened. And you could feel their fear and their pain that this man was killed for no other reason than he was African American. It made them afraid for their own lives. But moreover, the pain that one of their race was killed for no other reason than his color. They felt betrayed. I felt it. The Lord let me feel their hearts. How long do you think this is going to take before they stir up race wars? I have a friend that told me that revival is going to fall right around a bunch of cities in conflagration. And I think it's this issue that's going to cause it. The only reason it has not already exploded, the angel of the Lord came to me years ago and told me that if America did not change its attitude toward the African American people, there were going to be fires all over this nation, particularly in ghetto areas. Right after that, what was that young man's name that the police killed? Yes, right after that, within a month, before I could get it published in my book, Prepare. And the next thing you know, America's exploding. And now they're trying to stir it up again. Now think about this. Just think about this. I want you to understand the power of prayer. The last time, it was with the shooting of one man, and America exploded. This time, look what the elite have done to try to stir up racial wars. It's been issue after issue after issue, and they have not been able to do it, and they have not been able to do it because we have been praying.
Amen.
We must continue to keep praying over this issue, repenting of our treatment of the African American people, and asking God to intervene against the plans and purposes of the elite. We want unity of heart and spirit. And one of the ways it's going to happen is if African Americans get saved. Only about 5% of them are saved. Did you know that? But God is going to move in this nation in a mighty revival among the African Americans. I've seen stadiums filled with African Americans. I've seen it many times. And these stadiums filled with people are filled with people getting saved, getting healed, filled with the Holy Ghost. God isn't done. He has to fulfill every promise He's made to me because we are standing in the gap for this nation. Amen?
Yes, amen.
One of the major reasons that they want this racial war is for martial law. They're going to try it in the area of finance, but they're also trying to make it happen through the African-American, the racial wars. They want martial law. And we've got to keep praying against that. Don't be afraid to pray against it. You know, sometimes in our gatherings, people that come to our gatherings, most of them, 99%, really understand what we're doing, and they're really fully for what we're doing. But you have this 0.1%, you know, or a 1%. People will come up to me and, why don't you just leave this stuff alone? And I'll say, what stuff? All this praying you're doing. Just pray for people to get saved. Pray for the harvest. And I look at them and I say, but what about what the Bible says? That we are to pray for the place that we live, that we may have peace. I just don't think all this stuff is necessary. And I'm thinking, well, you can go sit in the corner and believe what you want to believe. But when things start exploding in your face, you're going to wish that you would have added your prayers to ours. Am I right?
Yes.
So when you have Christian friends saying that, you know, they just, they're not getting in touch. And you need to get them in touch with reality. You pray or you're going to be afraid to send your kids outside in the morning. Amen. Now, I'm sure that some of you have heard about ISIS. About 99.9%. Years ago, I was in New York. I was there to minister in a Chinese church. The first night I was there, I went to sleep, and the angel of the Lord came to me, told me to wake up, that he needed to take me with him. Now listen very close. And he started taking me to nations where there was a jihad going on every place he took me. He showed me city after city and nations. Like one of the islands down in Indonesia, one of their big islands, he took me to fly all over the island. He took me to the borders, you know, to the beaches, to the borders of the islands. He took me, he would fly me high, then we would go right down where I could see people's faces that were laying all over the island. They were all dead. And just in case I didn't notice that, he said, there is not a living soul on this island. I said, it looks like a bloodbath down there. What happened? It's a jihad. He took me to nations all over the earth. I don't know how long we were gone, but he would bring me back I'd be so traumatized, I would just lay there and cry and cry and cry. Finally, I'd fall asleep. And then I'd have a dream of seeing more places where the same thing was true. I'd wake up in horror, terror from the dream, and the angel of the Lord would be standing right beside my bed. And he'd say, "It's time to get up. I need to take you and show you some more." He took me to places in France. He took me to places in the South Seas. He took me to places in Africa, all over. And what I would see in action is the jihadist going all over, killing every person they saw. They would rape, they would kill, they would pillage until everyone in the city or the village was dead. And then they would catch the whole city on fire. And I'd say to the angel, "What is this? What is this that you're showing me?" And he'd tell me, "It's a new jihad movement. Their plan is to go all over the world. And I want you to know that what we're seeing in ISIS is the beginning of what I saw. We have got to pray, and we must pray hard that God is going to break the back of this thing, yes, so that it cannot prosper at this hour. Amen. Pray. God will listen to your prayers. I promise you He will. Don't get discouraged. Don't get overwhelmed. Your faith is able. Pray. Ask God to give you the burden. Remember that the ones they're chiefly going after are our brothers and sisters in other nations. You might say, "Well, the elite are the ones behind this." I know that. And so do you. So you need to pray for both ends, those who are doing it and those who are sponsoring it. Pray that God will do His will, perform His will, and stop this movement. Can you pray? Yes. Will He listen? Yes. I am your captain. And I'm giving you your assignment. Are you writing it down? Good. Whether it's on your computer, in your brain, or on a piece of paper, I don't care, as long as you remember and you pray. Tell the Lord, don't let what Nita saw happen. Stop it. We command that these jihadists be stopped. We don't accept what you're doing. We stand against you in the name of Jesus. Ask God to save them. You might say, "Well, they're too evil to get saved." I'm glad no one thought that about Paul. So, you'll do it, right? Then we have something glorious. I'll speak about the glorious right now. The mantle that was upon Moses is going to be given to those who have been selected to wear it. You know, people think that if they like somebody's ministry, they can just decide this is what God needs to give them. When in actuality, you don't decide what ministry you're called to. God does. He creates you for the ministry He calls you to. And He already knows who who he has created and who he has put in their place for him to anoint with the mantle of Moses. And what was it that Moses said? Someone say it. What was the major thing he said? Let my people go. And that is the mantle that's going to be given. God is going to set aflame certain individuals with these powerful mantles to confront Satan face to face. And their message will be, let my people go. And they will move in such signs and wonders that the nation who wants to terrorize the church will fall. Can you say will fall? Will fall before the power of God through these Moseses. They will move in great signs and wonders. Great miracles and healings will happen. Do you remember how the Bible said that Moses brought them out and not one was infirmed? Not one needed healing? Not one, you know, was, how can I say, given over too much to old age? God had moved in a supernatural miracle to enable these people to walk and to run. When he sends his Moses forth again, he is going to give the same miracles to the church, and there will not be one among us that will be sick or infirmed. Amen. Not one. If you're worried about health care, you won't need to worry. If you will believe God for your health, he will give it, just like he's going to give it to me. And I'm telling you, when he gives it, you're going to be shouting and dancing. He is going to give it, but it's for a Kairos moment. And he's going to work a great work through Moses, this Moses mantle. The Elijah mantle is soon going to be given, very soon, to help bring the church out of Egypt. What was the other thing Moses was used for? To bring the people of God out of Egypt. And that's what it's going to be for now. So if you're not ready to leave Egypt, don't pray for that guy to come. Because when he comes, you're going to wake up. And you're not going to want Egypt anymore. But there are going to be some difficulties, you know, nipping at our heels to make sure that we don't become a Lot's wife. And when it's time to come out of Egypt, we're going to go. Amen? Are you with me? Now, the elite are trying to destroy our government, but God is going to restore our government. Yes. It's not going to be what we're dealing with now. He really is going to give us a government that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to carry upon his shoulders. Yes. You know, it seems kind of utopic, doesn't it, to say something like that? America has never been perfect, and I'm sure that America will not be perfect in the future. But he uses imperfect people to do great things. And he really is going to give us people who love him, who love righteousness, and who want to give America a righteous backbone. God is going to do that if you will pray. Did you bring all your paper for this prayer list? Because it's getting kind of long. Restoration of government, of science, of economy, of education, of military, of banking, and restored favor with the nations. America was created to be the father of nations. Jesus spoke this to me down in Malaysia when I was ministering down there. He is going to fulfill his purpose. So when America is restored to favor, America is going to have the heart to be a father, a righteous father to the nations. We are going to have a time when the Lord's glory is going to be seen as the waters cover the sea. But you must pray and you must not grow weary. You must not let anything harm your faith. There are going to be continued revelations of secret things, big and small. This will continue. This has been, these outstanding revelations that we've been seeing have been because we have been praying for that. That God would reveal the wickedness under the covers. That he would just uncover it. And he's doing it. And so more revelations are going to come. But your faith has to be strong enough to hold on to this, right? You can't just back up and say, well, with what I see in this nation, he just needs to destroy it. Don't say things like that. The revelations come, say, oh, praise God, he's hearing our prayers. And he's revealing the secret and hidden things so he can deal with the corruption. Now, are the people, you know, that are responsible for doing all of this, finding the corruption and dealing with it, are they doing a great job? No. But it is the beginning of something grand. So you keep praying, you keep praising. The American people are going to get to the place where they're just not going to put up with it anymore. And that's what you need to be praying over. That God's grace will come upon this nation to stand up against unrighteousness. Are you with me?
Yes.
One night, here in this sanctuary, sitting in this chair over here, I had about 6 or 8 visions back to back, bam, 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 bam. One of the visions that I had, I haven't talked to people from the pulpit about because it was so bad. I mean, it was just catastrophic, it seemed like. And that was that Obama would wear the garb of a terrorist. I think that we're seeing that, don't you? I also didn't know because the other person in the vision was, what was his name? He was the Palestinian that literally created the present day terrorism in Palestine, Arafat. Arafat was the other person in the vision, and he was looking at Obama with great pleasure. Because Obama was taking on that mantle. We need to pray for Obama. God wants to save him. That may be hard for some to believe. I don't know, one night we were praying for him and we had his picture up here on the board. And suddenly before my very eyes, I saw a different man out of the same picture. Were you here that night when that happened? I'm trying to tell the gathering about this. I asked Ely to put the picture up. She did, and I'm telling them, and I said, doesn't he look arrogant and angry and, you know, lots of things? And even as I'm saying this, the picture changed before my very eyes again. How many of you were in that gathering and saw it happen? I just want you to know, I'm not telling you a fib. That picture changed, and what I saw was the same thing we saw here, which was an Obama that was sad, pain, filled with pain, lonely, I mean, his picture changed right before our very eyes. Isn't that an amazing thing? Is that kind of a sign and a wonder? God wants us to see the truth of his heart. Not just, I mean, you know, in the beginning of his administration, I couldn't stand to look at his face. I don't know about you guys. And I'd feel so bad at it. And I'd tell the Lord, please change my heart toward this man. I cannot stand to look at his face. And that's a terrible thing for an intercessor to say to the Lord. Please change my heart. And so he started speaking to me through dreams, helping me to see the heart of Obama the way he sees it. And it changed me. And so now my heart is filled with compassion no matter how much garbage he does. I want to see this man get saved. How about you? Has God done that in your heart? I am so proud of you guys. I still talk to Christians that tell me, you do what? You believe what? And I just love telling this story, you know, because it's like you have to really be vulnerable to tell this story. Because it shows all of my imperfections. When Obama was reelected, I decided I was going to get depressed. How about you? The devil made you do it, right? I decided I was going to get depressed, and I worked hard at it for 3 days and nights. I am not kidding you, because I felt like everyone else that's a Christian is depressed, and I needed to get in the soup with them. So I'm trying really hard to get depressed, but I can't get depressed, and the harder I try, the more joyful I become. Now remember, Obama is our new president, and we already saw what he was going to give us the first time he became president. I want to get depressed. This is a depressing scene. This is something I should be in anguish over, not just depressed, but, you know, almost clinical. But the harder I try, I'm telling you the truth, the more joyful I became. Until somewhere around the third night, and I said to the Lord, this is ridiculous. How can I help? How can I tell anyone who's a Christian that I am joyful? They're going to look at me and think I lost it. You know, what they said of Paul, you've gone mad. So that's what I'm thinking. Why can't I get depressed like everybody else? Why can't I just be normal? And the Lord said, because I'm about to do something new, brand new. But we have to pray. We need to pray that God will save him. And we need to pray that he will fulfill God's purpose in allowing him to be elected. He's already done it 3 times, you know. He has stood against the elite 3 times for his good friends, the Arabs. And because he did that, we haven't gone through an oil crisis. All 3 things that he stood against would have put a smack dab, then $10 plus a gallon gas, or may have altogether cost us having any gas for our vehicles. I did see that that was where they were going, to strip us of any gas. But they had to betray the Arab in order to do it. So the fact that Obama refused to go along with her plans 3 times, we're still seeing $3 and some odd cents a gallon gas. Now, I don't know how you feel about that. I'm okay with it. So he isn't bad everything. If God can do that, through him in the state of mind he is in, what can he do if he really has control of Obama? But whatever God's plan is for Obama, if the church will pray, God would have done a miracle with Clinton if we would have prayed. He told me that. But the church got so mad at him, they wouldn't pray. Now, can you believe that? Our husband is saying, pray for those in authority. And we're saying, no. I'm mad at him. I won't pray for him. I'm too mad at him. I don't even like his ugly face. I won't pray for him. Our husband says, pray for those in authority. Will you just get him straightened out and I'll pray for him? Now, that's kind of silly, isn't it? But that is what we did. Now, we can do that with Obama, too. And I know a lot of Christians have been doing that. I've actually had Christians come up to me and say, I will not pray for Obama. So don't ask me to. I say, well, I guess I got that straight. But if the church won't pray, who will? If the church is not going to stand in the gap for this man, I mean, with the amount of Christians we have in America, he should have been saved a long time ago. We must pray for him. Ask God to put his heart in your heart for Obama. And you will find that when you start praying for him, you will cry. Let's give God a good treat and pray Obama into the house of the Lord. I think if Obama was really saved, I think he'd be kind of fun. Okay, this is the plan. Our job is to stand. The Lord just once again put in my heart what he's been doing for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. Do not let Satan win. God has given us all this authority and power to win against the enemy of America.
Amen.
We cannot fail God. If it's in your heart to stand, stand up. Now, I want you to listen to me, please. I don't know. It may have been our last DC gathering, maybe the one before. We're walking across the street in DC when the Lord says to me, I have given you America. Did you hear what I said? The Lord called us here to stand in the gap. And the day is coming and it's close at hand when you're going to see what it means that you stood in the gap. When you see this nation on fire with revival, you're also going to see chaos, but that's going to be okay because what God is going to do for his church is going to be phenomenal. You will see the time of God multiplying the bread. I am telling you the truth. He has shown it to me in visions. How many of you know about the gold dust, or the gold chunks that people have gotten in their hair and in their beards and stuff? You may have thought that that was just silly nonsense, but no, God was trying to speak to his church. Don't worry. When things go bad, I've already got a plan. He's going to take care of you guys. And he's most especially going to make sure he takes care of those who have stood in the gap. He's going to fill your souls with so much faith, you'll wonder why you ever knew fear. He told me this himself. And this faith is not only going to be for God to do miracles and healings and signs and wonders and that kind of stuff, but it's also going to be for the rebuilding of America. I don't care what the elite try to do. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Our faith will hold this nation together. And when we come through it, we will belong to God. I think it's an amazing thing. It's going to be the most major confrontation between light and dark that we've ever known.
Yes.
But the light must stand.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You must stand and you must continue to pray.
Yes.
Do not grow weary in well-doing. Please say that. Say this, I will not stop praying in faith. Now, if I can get out of my bed and be up, even when my daughter was here, you just didn't see me up doing hardly anything because I've been way too sick. But look how long he has held me up. He did this to show you that he means what he's saying.
Yeah.
I'm not just an idiot up here trying to tell you a good fairy tale. What is inside of me, he has put like a brick building. No one is going to overturn my faith for what God's going to do.
Amen.
I understand him to be a God of mercy. And we're going to pray accordingly. Can we take a few minutes to pray?
Yes.
Did we tape this by any chance?
Yes.
Good. So if people wanted a copy, pardon me? It will be on the website? Okay. Okay. So, and we'll call it Never Give Up. You don't have to worry about it. Just copy it. Send it to 1,000 people. Send it all over. And get the church standing in faith. Amen.
Amen.
Can I tell you one more thing?
You
don't mind standing up with me for a minute? I had this phenomenal experience. I was standing in the foyer of this hotel, and some of my colleagues walked in the door, and I motioned to them. I said, "Come over and let me talk to you." So we went up this flight of stairs, and going past us was intercessors. They would come through the door of the hotel and start weeping uncontrollably. And they would go back into the prayer room. So we went up to, how many of you have been to our DC gatherings and remember the foyer of the hotel there? We went up onto the landing, and we're talking. And Don said, "What's going on here?" I said, "I don't know. They walked through the door, they hit the front door crying. They come back here and they just bawl their head off." and it's been going on all day. I can't even think about starting a meeting because they already started it. And they're crying, and they're crying, and they're crying hard. And so as I'm talking to my colleagues, the noise in the prayer room gets so great that it's almost unbearable. And it's the noise of their tears, the tears of the intercessors. And I see I see forming a vortex, and it's going this way, in this direction, counterclockwise. And it's burrowing a hole into the floor of the room. Not a small hole, but engulfing the whole room. And I don't know, Don or Fred said, "What is going on here?" I said, "I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what to say. All I know is God is doing something here." And I tell them, the Lord told me to call this prayer meeting because this prayer meeting is going to save America. He told me that he has already put it in the mind and the heart of businessmen all over this nation to wait for miracle giving until God performs this thing that he is doing right now. And when I talk to the businessmen and they see what he's doing, they're going to want to support it because they will know this is the one, this is the moment that God spoke to them about, some even years ago, and that this is what is going to save America. So while I'm talking to them, are you listening to me?
Yes.
While I'm talking to them, the vortex begins to change. It changes direction. Now, it's been burrowing into the ground. And with it, the room has been sinking. Do you hear me?
Yes.
And it's kind of scary. As we're talking, the vortex changes direction and starts moving in the other direction. And as it does, it speeds up. And it gets really fast until it lifts the room up out of the hole and up into the air above the storm.
Thank you, Lord.
And Don and Fred said, "What is going on?" I mean, it was quite a show. I said, "I don't know, but God has just saved America." I don't know how much we're going to be called to walk through because the floor did go down a little bit, a little bit, a little bit.
Amen.
But when it came up above the storm, and God saved America. Your prayers are going to make the difference. God does not want to send his wrath, although we have earned it. Your intercession is what is going to save this nation. Pray like you've never prayed before, because it's time for God to move.